Hey everybody, it's Jim Phoenix here, and with my co-host J.M. Brannick, we're actually going to do some stuff with none other than the best of Roger Corman. Dude.
I said Roger this time.
So you did. Why are you so excited? What the heck?
This is my actual voice. People said I should use my voice, so here we are. Now, if this is the best of episode and you hate Roger Corman, probably skip this one. Other than that,
yeah.
Here we go. Hit it.
Roger Corman. Roger.
Oh shit, we're here. Oh yeah, hey everyone. I don't know where our podcast go like 12 hours. It takes me a minute 30 just to do the intro.
it takes you so long to do everything when you go into your soundboard.
My soundboard. I have to expand the soundboard too. So welcome to Streaming Demons. It is the bi-weekly. Is that the correct term now, bi-weekly? Or is it more like, is it pan-weekly?
It's... old man jokes. Come and get them here at Haunted MTL.
MTL.com. Come. And like and subscribe for more old man jokes and some horror jokes.
You
get horror jokes.
And veterans.
Veterans. Now, although today it's a bit of a jokey joke and a bit of a horror all mixed together because we're doing
and a veteran.
Best. Sure. And a veteran. The best of Roger Corman, or as I like to call him, Robert sometimes.
You do.
He actually has more on IMDb underneath of Robert Corman, I think. I think if you looked that up.
I think you also put all of those there.
Maybe. So if you like people on IMDb, like and describe now. It takes a click. You got to click it before you lick it. No, wait, what? Anyways, I don't think that's the one. Yeah. So welcome to Streaming Demons. Today is a special one.
It is.
Not because I wanted to. Honestly, I was stoked for the witch thing. I was even watching a witch movie. And
I was so
my
proud.
Fucking idea to watch these fucking movies. And Brandon's like, hey, I hope you're not watching a witch movie right now. Because, you know, Roger Corman, we have to do that. I'm like, who the fuck's Roger Corman? And then you're like, Robert. I'm like, oh, Robert Corman? Yeah, we have to do something with Robert Corman. Holy shit. Wait a minute.
Yeah, stop the presses, Robert Corman, of course.
Like, what the fuck's that? So we are doing a show that's kind of like the best tribute. Randy Rose tribute. Oh, that's Ozzy Osbourne.
Roger Corman tribute.
Yeah.
Or Robert.
We're doing it on a payphone to honor him. So why? Because I know my reasons why. I don't really know.
He's recently passed. He was at the drive-in thingy with Jim Bob.
Right.
He was there.
In Vegas?
Yep, in Vegas. They did a huge special thing for him there. He is a Detroit native. So.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. And he actually... also inspired a lot of other directors, Francis Ford Coppola, Ron Howard, Joe Dante. So it's really a tribute to everyone because he gave so much.
Yeah, I think.
And exploited so much.
Well, it's weird because you're looking through the IMDb. I'll be honest. Last week I was at a Sebastian Bach concert. And then yesterday.
I like how you have to say Sebastian Bach. I mean, there are other Bachs, but it's funny that you're like dropping it like you guys are really good. Hey, I just want to let you guys know.
Well, that's what but I think that to watch The Last Drive and until the week after, because what to do. I'm like, well, sorry, I'm gonna watch this. And then I watched The Last Drive in yesterday. Long story short, plus three jobs, I didn't watch any fucking Roger Corman movies.
I am going to school. I work one job.
Sucker.
But I also helped plan a funeral. So, and I still watched Roger Corman, three movies, a documentary, and I got an okay grade on my midterm. I'm fine with that.
Congrats on the midterm.
I'm fine with an okay grade.
I'm taller, so I don't know.
Oh, fuck. He is taller. Nah, I'm fucking taller. Okay, he's got me.
Damn right. So I did the best thing I did was Google. Sadly, I did watch other movies. I watched all the trailers that are trailers. I watched all the screeners people sent me so I can do reviews on those. I also
watched two screeners.
Which one did you watch? I'm curious.
I watched.
If you could talk about it, if there's no.
I haven't put it up yet. One of them, it's Pandemonium from our good friend Justin. And then the other one was Silence of the Prey, which is up on Haunted MTL, which you can go take a look at.
Okay. Meow meows.
And yeah. I watched. Special guest, my cat. Jelly Beans, the cat, everyone.
Jelly Beans going, hello.
She's a big fan.
I did Girl in a Box.
Was there a girl in a box?
Or a trunk. Sorry, Jesus. Okay. It wasn't much.
Or was it a fridge?
Because there was a boy in the box. No, that was like, it was weird.
That was a long, yeah. There was a boy in a box.
A while last ago. No, I did a girl in the box. No, fuck, man. I did a girl in the trunk. But anyway, the movie was like, the girl in the trunk exists because Roger Corman existed.
Yeah.
Because it allowed the indie film team to go, or I hope they're indie. God, I'm so sorry. I kind of like, not the trash, think, like mains, but.
I think a lot of people that come to us with screeners are indie, which we support 100%.
Yeah. Horror itself is kind of hard these days otherwise. It's going to be more of, you get Blumhouse and Castle Rock. Like, who else would be non-indie? That one we're both trying to think of, we can't remember. I know exactly. There's like one more major one. Everyone's screaming at us right now, but. Yeah. A lot of them are kind of like the subsidiary of, but it is a woman in a trunk for like an hour and 30 minutes for most of it. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's shot and you would love it. You would have loved the shot. Oh my God. That's why I said box in a trunk or woman in a box, because it opens up with ankle shots.
Oh, well, yeah. Five out of five.
With like heels and stuff. I know exactly. Right. But that shit wouldn't exist without Roger Corman.
I mean, he shot Little Shop of Horrors in 3 days,
Wrote, directed, and shot, I think. Oddly enough.
Produced. He did a lot of producing.
He never lost money.
He did lose money on one.
Really? I thought he never lost money. I thought it was a whole bulletproof thing.
It has Jack Nicholson in it. Oh, wait, no, William Shatner. It has William Shatner.
The one with Bill Shatner in it last? Okay.
And I will talk about that later.
Okay. Yeah, we originally were going to have four movies, like the top four. Mm-hmm. And so we might do like a little feasty. Is that part of your top four? Curious.
Kind of. Let's say that.
Because I just Google shit, honestly.
The thing is, I haven't watched it yet because I had no idea about it until I watched the Roger Corman documentary. Which is on Tubi. It's free. I highly suggest it.
I love Tubi.
But it has a lot of directors as Francis Ford Coppola. It has Ron Howard as Joe Dante. It has his wife. It has Roger Corman. It has his brother. I mean, it's got a lot of people.
Brother Robert? Is his brother named Robert? That'll be really fucking funny. All this time I was thinking about Robert fucking Corman. All right, so we got... You want to start with the back and forth top four and then kind of like pop in some things? Okay.
Sure.
Normally we'll do a movie each and we talk about a movie together, but this is like a special of. And if you have a special movie with Robert or Roger Corman,
drop us a line. I'm honestly curious because he had such a long career.
He did.
That I'm curious to see what fans come from where. And because mine, maybe one movie might cross over for one of your top four. We didn't talk about our top four before.
No, we didn't.
So it's going to be a surprise for both of us.
It will be a surprise.
What would be your number four? So you're not your top, so your number four.
I know. I would have to probably say, because again, it is a long list, and we said we could do producing as well. So,
but not acting.
No, but not acting.
Because otherwise, it's like Silence of the Lambs, and you can't like what the fuck it, you know.
So I would actually have to say The Little Shop of Horrors.
Okay, because, that's your number four. Okay.
Yeah. It's so iconic. Like I said, it was shot in 3 days. It's a great story of just this nerd. He gets a plant. Plant likes to eat blood. Plant likes to eat bodies. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And basically, after that, it became the off-Broadway musical. Then it became the...
Steve Martin, Rick Moranis.
Yeah. And you know who played the original? He was a masochist. Who just wanted the dentist to give him pain. And that was Jack Nicholson. That was one of his first movies.
That's right.
And it's a hilarious scene. He does a great job.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Little Shop of Horrors appears on The Last Drive-In of Joe Bob Briggs.
I'm sure it does because it's an iconic movie.
Long Darcy. That's the original 1960.
Black and white.
Hour 13.
Yep, and it's just a great B movie. It's funny. It's, you know, and again, like to watch it now, and you hear of all these movie production companies, and they take like, you know, 6 months of shooting and this and that, and this took 3 days, like of hard freaking work.
Right. No, that's it was like 6 months of shooting, and the budget was $1 million or $10 million, and then that means the production, the advertising budget is $10 million. So it's a $20 million movie. This is like fuck. You can knock this shit out with some construction lights and a VHS, you know, super
and 8. A lot of paper mache. Yeah. A lot of paper mache, but yeah. So it's a fun movie. Again, it's cool because the nerd is the protagonist. You're the one who you get to follow his journey. So it's just a fun movie.
It is a fun movie, and it is my number one Roger Corman movie.
Oh.
But it's your number four. For me, it's number one because he directed, he wrote it, and then the yeah. cast itself is pretty fucking amazing. Even like the throwaway like walk-on type things are fucking solid.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it gave birth to one of the movies I remember as a kid, which is, of course, the recolorization of it. Not recolorization. The remake in color, Little mm-hmm. Shop of Horrors with Rick Moranis and Steve Martin.
Yeah, which, is, again, is just... And it took the musical of that and put the music into... So it's basically the baby of the musical and also the movie.
Yeah, this one's... You know, original has Dick Miller in it. And it's Jack Nicholson, you already said.
Mm-hmm.
And... These are the things that make you go like, oh shit, this is all possible. If you were like, oh, I need to make $1 bazillion. I need to go kickstart my movie. I need a Kickstarter and I need like a credit card and I need all this fucking movie money. And motherfucker, you need 3 days in a warehouse.
And an idea.
Yeah. And now for just fucking iPhone.
Yeah.
3 days of fucking iPhone.
Hashtag Chad gets the axe. They did it. All iPhones.
There you go. So that was your number four. Mm-hmm. That's my number one. So I'll just like, what's your number three? And I'll do my number four.
Okay.
Or do you want to do like, yeah, I guess.
You do your number four.
You want me to do my number four? Okay.
Yeah.
My number four is Saturday the 14th. Mm. 1981 PG motherfucking movie, an hour 15 begins. And it is like this horror comedy. Yeah. I think. I remember watching it as on a VHS tape. A family inherits an old mansion which houses the dangerous book of evil that has them all the monsters in the world trapped inside of it. And I do remember like a meow meows. I remember like the creature of the Black Lagoon, I think, type scene with a bathtub. So it was a movie Remember, kids, back in this days, we did not have the internet.
No, we didn't.
If you want to rub one out, if you know what I mean, you had Thundercats.
Creature of the Black Lagoon. No. Apparently for you.
Well, you had the Sears catalog, you had the JCPenney catalog, you had the Monkey Want Rewards catalog, if you see where I'm going.
Yeah, there's no Victoria's Secret back in
No. And even then, why the fuck would you have a Victoria's Secret catalog? Exactly. Think about it, kids. It means your parents were not oppressed, and all parents back then were. You would have arguably the Thundercats with Tigara. Maybe She-Ra, but she was like wearing too much Sheetara. Okay, Sarah. So you wouldn't do the Snorks because they all looked just like the same. You wouldn't do the Smurfs.
Look.
Okay, Smurfette once in a while.
We're not gonna kink shame anybody.
Fucking will. I'm gonna kink shame everyone, goddamn. But here we go. You had to take your moments. That's my point. So Saturday the 14th, if there's a moment of someone taking a bathtub and it's on a VHS tape, which means you can pause it, fucking ain't right, you do. And there's actually one of the photos at IMDb is someone taking off their underwear. That is her photo. So, hello, Julian. So that alone is enough for making this comedy horror awesomeness. I believe the best review on IMDb sums it up nicely. Oh, that's a big one. It's 80s cheese.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what the 80s were.
It's basically a parody of all of the kind of universal monsters and everything that kind of went before that.
And this is coming from Friday the 13th.
Yeah, it's Saturday.
So it's the next day.
Yeah.
The next day gets better. And this is actually nominated for the worst movies of the year.
So was the one about Joan Crawford. And that's Jim a great Crow. Movie. No, Mommy Dearest.
Oh, Mommy Dearest. Oh, Joan Crawford. I thought it said Jim Crawford.
Joan Crawford. Anyway.
So I dig this one. It stars of young everyone. It stars a very young Jeffrey Turnbull. Oh, it's got Jeffrey Tambor, which you guys might most notice from Meet Joe Black. I don't know. That's more of my generation. Maybe you'd notice him from the show with the dude from the Valley.
Yep. Keep going. Jason
Bateman. What was Jason Bateman's show? The People American? Watch.
Oh.
No. The latter one.
I don't know.
The one of Portia.
Oh, Arrested Development? Arrested
Development, yeah. I think you might recognize him from Arrested Development. I think that's Jeffrey Tambor. Yeah, I think so.
Welcome to Streaming Demons, where Jim tries to remember things. I don't know these
fucking people. Like, let me click on his shit, man. So you have Jeffrey Tambor in it, but it's like always people who are very, very young at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was Arrested Development.
Yeah.
So that's my number four.
Okay.
And like I said, I don't think most of them are going to follow up with each other. So what's your number three?
So my number three is going to be basically, so Roger Corman was really interested in making movies about Edgar Allan Poe stories.
Yeah. You know why?
Because they're cool.
Because it's public fucking domain.
Oh, well, yes, that too.
They kind of write themselves because they're already there.
Well, and he initially got pushback with the Fall of Usher because before then he was just doing monster movies. And the movie company said, but there's no monster. And he was like, the house is the monster. And that's how he got the budget, is selling it on the house. But it's not actually going to be that. My number three is going to be Mask of the Red Death.
Mask of the Red Death. I did have that one on my list and I took it off.
Ah, well.
Yeah. Actually, it's still on my list, but it's not on my thing. Yeah.
It's got, of course, the late and great Vincent Price.
Jane Asher.
Yeah. The color of it is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's basically during the plague, which I think we can kind of all relate to. And basically, it's about like parting until death comes. And it's just such a classic, iconic movie with just the most beautiful color palette. And when he was doing these, Edgar Allan Poe films, he was able to do them in color because he basically told the studio, look, I'm doing all these movies for you. They all make money. I need to do one in color. And so he went hard for it. Remember, being able to make a movie in color in the olden days was not just, you didn't just do it. It was not a right that you just had. You had to actually fight for it. So
the olden days of 1964.
Yeah. The olden days, 1964. Where you had to fight to have color in your movie. So we take it for granted too. And so I don't understand why so many horror movies of today, this is my old person speak, why so many movies of today mute out the colors so much, because it is an opportunity, and you'll see it if you watch Mask of the Red Death, to really propel the story.
Right. And I want to say, and I'm going to say, I want to be right.
Sure.
I think this was also on Last Drive-In of Joe Bob Briggs.
Probably. It's, again, very iconic. It's beautiful. Goodbye, cat. And I mean, the acting's great. The atmosphere is great. He was able to do these grandiose atmospheres and sets that look way more expensive than they were, and just create this foreboding. And of course, Vincent Price, being the absolute gem that he is, absolutely sells it.
Yes. Yes. And not only that, but if you look at the Parents Guide, this is what I want to talk about, old horror versus new horror, right? If you look at the Parents Guide, sure, there's going to be some sexuality and nudity, because nudity apparently wasn't evil then. There's going to be violence and gore. Swearing, no. There might be smoking, but there might be some drinking, but it's not a lot of drug.
Well, later in his career, he did do LSD, the movie. Oh, wait, no, wait. It was called The Trip.
The Trip. But still, this is like 64. No. If you wanted to see older horror, and it's kind of, they're family films.
Yeah.
You get past all the blood and the gore.
Yeah.
And the,
yeah.
Prospero, aptly named, a little bit more Shakespearean. Prospero. Yes, it is. And you got this. So that's like The Tempest then. Prospero? Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was based off of two Edgar Allan Poe things, which was The Mask of the Red Death and Hop Frog. So I guess they kind of just mixed it in two.
Right. But if you get to just the name itself. From The Tempest. And then I love the tagline, because look into his face. Shudder. It actually is an advertisement for Shudder, the streaming service.
Which is it's a good service. Yeah. I have it.
He should get fucking royalties for that one. So that was your number three.
That was my number three.
Yeah, I can see that. It was almost on my list. It was on my list for a while, and then it dropped out for not this one, but it dropped out for the next one.
Okay.
It dropped out for my number two.
Okay.
Yeah. My next one is Rock and Roll High School.
I have not seen it.
Rock and Roll High School was supposed to be with like Van Halen, but Warner's like, no. And so they went with the Ramones. Warner being Van Halen.
Crazy.
Well, because Van Halen was Warner Brother. And Rock and Roll High School was born with the Ramones, all because Roger Corman really wanted to do a musical. Like, you want to do like a fucking like a teen musical. And that's what we get. We get the actual fucking Ramones in this, in Vince Lombardi High, right? All I remember is a giant rat. I remember the Ramones, and like, I'm guessing like Clint Howard's in it or some shit. I'm guessing. And it's a musical. All I remember. I saw it. Okay, it came out in 79. I saw it in 79.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it had a 200 grand budget. So that's actually pretty hefty, but it actually has.
Yeah. In a way it is, and in a way it's not, you know.
Oh, they had to play for all the Ramones guitar lessons. Oh, no, that's it. And again, who's in it? Dick Miller.
And Alan Arkush was the director, who is, he and Joe Dante go back way, way when they started. They just would clip trailers together, and that's how they became friends.
There you go. There's a lot of cool stories like that. Mm-hmm. There's a story. Oh, man.
it's horror, but it's not quite Roger Corman-ish. It's the Eli Roth. Eli Roth got his start by basically being a security guard on private parts or some shit like that. Just like,
I mean,
guarding trailers.
Yeah. I mean, and to be honest, that's what Roger Corman, well, he did basically, he was an, I think, newspaper guy for Fox, and then started saying like, hey, I'll work a 6 day, no pay, just to be on set. And that's kind of how he started.
Yeah. It's the whole mystery is made for the wrong reasons. And this movie comes from the writer who actually does stage a walkout, allegedly stages a walkout in his own high school.
Hmm.
So it, you know, 1920s.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's wild.
Yeah. So that's it. Rock and Roll High School. Corman wanted Trick Trick. Todd Rundgren. Van Halen was thrown around. And they all settled on Ramones.
Oh.
So I mean, which is great. I mean, I think.
Yeah, no. The Ramones are great.
I think if they did Van Halen as a different movie, I think it had to be Ramones.
A way different movie.
A lot Ramones. Of use of color.
You like yeah. Color. Yeah.
So that's my number three. What's your number two?
So my number two is kind of my number one, but you'll see why I picked my number one.
It's not Sharktopus, is it? Is it Sharktopus?
I don't think he did Sharktopus, but it's not Piranha.
It's not Piranha.
It's not Piranha. It is not. It's not She Gods of the Shark Reef. It's actually going to be, and this is where he was a producer. It was Death Race 2000.
Oh, it's the one you asked me if I watched. I'm like, what the fuck's that?
Yeah, and I'm like, I died inside.
You know,
today.
Today, I thought you were going to say Flesh. I thought you were going to say Flesh Gordon, which was my number two as well.
Oh no!
So this, it's not Flesh Gordon. It's Death Race.
It's Death Race 2000, which is, I mean, I feel like it's an essential movie for everybody to watch.
It's a recent one though. It was like 2000.
No. You're thinking of Death Race 2050. Yes.
Oh, I don't watch that one either.
Yeah, no, this one stars David Carradine. It also has Sylvester Stallone in it.
Wait. Okay. I saw Moving Violations. I'm like, holy shit, he did Moving Violations, the comedy from the 80s? No, it's about a fucking meow meows. It's about a.
She really likes it.
It's about a fucking, like, David Carradine. Is this like a sequel to that movie?
Is this a
permanent?
This is like its own little thing.
It's like a racing movie?
Yeah. It's basically after like this economic ruin destroys, you know, basically our economy. The United States government is like, let's do a like martial law kind of thing. But we get to have this road race where these racers get to go and try to kill people for bonus points.
It's Cannonball Run.
It's hilarious. It is hilarious. So basically we have like Calamity Jane. She's a cowgirl. She has a car looking horse. Not horse. Oh my God.
Horse. It's a horse. It's a car.
It is a cow looking car.
Cow looking car?
Yes. It's a cow car.
Cow car.
Nero the Hero, the Roman Gladiator. Like, these are the things. It's kind of like, what's that? You know, they would have like Flash and Blade, American Gladiators. It's like American Gladiators with cars.
Like Demolition Man? Or Running Man. No, not Demolition. Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Kind of, but
or
with
they
cars.
Have to, with cars.
Well, and they basically, whoever gets there the fastest. But like I said, if you kill people, you get certain points. If they're elderly, they're worth a certain amount of points.
Is that where that comes from? Is that where that fucking thing comes from?
Yes.
You should do that too, right? Driving, right? Oh,
yes.
Guy for Kane, 5 points.
Yep.
Holy
this is where
shit.
It came from. Yes. It was
I don't watch this movie. I've looked and lived it.
Yeah. Basically, it made bank at the box office. It propelled, you know, because Sylvester Stallone's in it. He's great. It has so many people. Simone Griffith. And basically, it's about you get to learn the characters of them and basically this dystopian future, and it's kind of like a rise up against that.
That's cool.
It's hilarious. It's funny. It's cute. It's got heart to it. It's just, it's a fun movie, and I've watched it many times. I'll watch it many more times again.
Well, that's fantastic and a great segue to my number two. Oh, is your number two?
Yes, but also I just want to say it is directed by Paul Bartel, but it is produced by Roger Corman.
I'm thinking of Tony Bartlett. Okay, we'll take it. You said you're going to watch this many times. You think everyone should watch it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely.
My number two movie used to be Red Mask.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a cat, but I remember this is just like
I love looking at it.
I thought I would have her along because she's a huge Roger Corman fan.
There you go. Always. Meow meow.
she agrees.
My number two was almost Flesh Gordon meets the Cosmic Cheerleaders, but I'm like, no. Then I'm like, maybe it should be Screwballs because he also did Screwballs. And one and two, I'm like, no, I already have like Saturday the 14th. So my number two is a movie I would watch again and again and again, and I suggest everyone does too.
Barbarian Queen?
No.
Oh.
I was like, no, not that one. It's actually something of a sequel.
Oh.
It's the fourth one.
Okay.
It came out in 1984. No, we're not Star Wars. It's Emmanuel 4.
No way, really?
Yes, yes. He produces the Emmanuel series. I guess I was like, she sure the fuck didn't write it. I'm like, oh, they're actually writers listed. I'm like, okay, well, I guess
good for him. Writing.
Yes. If you've never seen the Emmanuel series, get your family together. Mom, dad, everyone.
Grandma, grandpa. Yeah.
Get the neighbors in. Make sure it's extended family. Religious holidays work best for this. And then you just sit down and watch it. And if you get through it, I believe that the sister movie of any of the Linda Lovelaces would be perfect for you. But in order to escape from her former lover, Mark, Sylvia goes to Brazil, where Dr. Santano transforms her into the beautiful Emmanuel. This new identity comes a sexual awakening, which is .. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
If you hear Emmanuel, you know immediately.
The genres are drama and romance.
and drama does come first, let me tell you.
It was riveting. The review I love the most is the feature review on IMDb. Lost the Magic was the fucking tagline. I'm like, really? Because he didn't jerk off enough? Or like, I didn't know how long this movie is. How long is this movie? I'm just curious now. This movie run times 1 hour and 32 minutes, but I can guarantee most people only sing it like 3 or 4 minutes at a time. I have no idea. It's on Skinamax. It pops on Skinamax, and then it pops right back off.
I don't think Skinamax is even a thing anymore.
Oh, okay. So back in our time. Back in my time.
Back in my time, too.
Okay. Cinemax was this. I guess you have HBO Max and Cinemax is by this thing. Cinemax was trying to get viewers at night, so they would do what would be considered light porn. NC-17s.
Softcore porn.
Yeah. You wouldn't see penetration. You would see people.
Boobs.
A lot of boobs. A lot of blocking. There's a lot of blocking. There's no penetration, but you knew what was going on. Emmanuel was basically the main name. That was like a fucking series. Like honestly, a movie juggernaut.
Skinamax was how I figured out I was bi.
Really?
Yeah.
How could you see it through all the snow? The snow and the fuzzy lines, because you could never really pay for this shit. You always had to like...
Well, because they always had like the little teaser trailers, you know, and if you want to watch this movie, you know, pay per ba-ba-ba-ba-ba,
Yeah, I'll pay for the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
So I can ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Dude, you know how many Emmanuels there actually are?
7.
Yes! There's at least 7. There's There's at least seven, including some things that could be Emmanuel-esque. One's actually Goodbye Emmanuel is number six. So this was like a James Bond thing where a new actress, I think.
Yeah, it was kind of like Debbie Does Dallas, you know, because it was like Debbie Does series. That was a predecessor to Emmanuel.
Emmanuel's. I think
Roger Corman did a lot of softer, core-ish kind of lesbian. He did basically when he did, I think it was New Line Cinemas when he became a distributor, he did a lot of like Caged Heat, which is in a women's prison.
I think he did like Women's Prison. I think he actually did one that's called just Women's Prison or something like that. Like, it's,
well, I don't think it was that. And, but basically that was becoming the popular thing at the time. Caged Heat was the first one I know for sure. And basically after that, because they sold, you know, they were safe, they sold. And it was like bad girls doing gone bad better. Girl stuff and yes. Really, you know, provocative at the time.
Oh, absolutely.
All of his movies were actually very provocative. Not all of them, but a large majority, because he did really try to focus on staying relevant with social issues in America and staying relevant with contemporary problems, kind of like the LSD movie that he had. And it was Jack Nicholson. He did a rewrite on that. It's called The Trip. And he told Roger Corman, well, you got to take LSD if you're going to make a movie about LSD. And so he did. And actually he started a fight with studios because they were being more and more conservative. And so basically he jumped studios to kind of protect his directors because his directors were also making movies that were more provocative for the time.
Directors.
And that actually kind of leads into my number one, if you want to.
Before we get to number one, let's do honorable mentions and then we'll do number ones.
Okay. Yep.
So what do you have for honorable mention? Like three or four of them? Just
oh gosh. Randomly. I guess Deathstalker, that's a crazy one. Carnosaur, that's a great one. And like I said, if you're really into Alan Edgar Poe, if you're into sets, if you're into scenery, I would check out The Fall of Usher.
Right.
And basically kind of all of his ones, because Pit and the Pendulum was really fun. I would not suggest The Raven unless you're really high.
I was going to ask you
about The Raven. Was fucking wild. Like, I could not make heads or tails of it. I did try this past week to watch it. I think I got 3/4 through and I just kind of gave up because it is really cuckoo crazy.
It is. It also is. The Suburbia, which I guess maybe I was just in the 80s. Like, I did Suburbias, and he's got the Slumber Party Massacres. And
The Slumber Party Massacres. The Prom, that was a big one.
Massacres and
Dunwich like Horror.
There you go. That's I was thinking he also did like a
Cockfighter.
Cockfighter. I think that was Payne's favorite. Cockfighter.
Fighter.
Cockfighter.
Piranha, like we said.
Piranha, yep.
Yeah.
Piranha. We always said Death Sport, I think. There's a ton of ones that look or sound like things. Moving Violation, which is not the movie Violation I was thinking of.
What's that big one that they did? Oh, shoot. Because he did it, The Fast and the Furious.
Yes. I saw like, Fast and Furious. That was like in the early 60s?
Yeah, I think so. Late 50s, early 60s.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
St. Valentine's Day Massacre. He did things that were actually, that was actually on the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, by the way. The Haunted Palace. He did some TV shows, not TV shows, but made for TVs. He appears on things. He was an actor in a bazillion little things as well.
Yeah, because a lot of the people, they loved him.
Fucking career to him.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like Stan Lee-ing it before Marvel. You know, it's like, I'm the agent, this guy, in Silence of the Lambs.
Right, because it's just like, I might as well just... And of course, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want to, you know? Like, that's great.
Yeah, I dig it a lot. And I had one of the funnier things because the Fantastic Four from 1994, which is now known as not the worst Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah.
It was a complete shit bomb.
Yeah.
But is now no longer the worst Fantastic Four movie.
It's not.
Yeah. If you think of all the cool or special effects from 1994, yeah, take away a lot of the budget and it's bad. It's bad. It's like watching the He-Man movie. It's kind of at the same time. He also did martial arts films.
Oh, Wild Angels.
Wild Angels.
That was like one of the first biker movies. He wanted to do something basically about the Hell's Angels as a protest against the Vietnam War. Right.
He did Blood Fist with Don the Dragon Wilson.
I'm not gonna.
No, it's not the Emmanuel 8 Blood Fist. That ain't that. This is kind of like when the kickboxing movies started coming out with Van Damme and
Fist Blood. Blood of fists.
Blood of fistings. Blood fist 12.
The fisting of blood.
The deepening. No, but yes, he did a lot of different fucking things. And the Marlena Dietrich, her own song. He does a doc of fuckumentaries. And it does him well. So he did a lot of shit. That's our thing. I think of he got a lot.
Well, he was called the Pope of Pop, the grandfather of
the Ayatollah of rock everything. And roll. Oh, that's Stones. That was Stitch. Oh. Sorry, he's not the Ayatollah of rock and roll. Although I hear that it's going to be a vacant spot soon.
Okay.
For to be an Ayatollah of rock and roll, call 1-800. No, I'm not going to give her a number for that one.
No, because it's just going to be Bigfoot anyway.
Or Tara Reid. We haven't decided yet. One day. So he did a lot of stuff. He did a lot of stuff. And he had, in Oxford, we say we want depth and breadth. He had both. He can go deep and he can go wide. Deep and wide.
Emmanuel 9.
He was girthy and wide and long. He was girthy and long, as we say. He even did a jazz movie. Knowing people's fucking horror is jazz. Which I'm surprised not your number one. Is that your number one? Jazz one?
No, because I hate it. It's scary.
Goddamn right. So what is your number one?
Okay, my number one.
Dick Miller's in it, right? I'm guessing.
No.
Dick Miller's not in it? Oh, no.
I don't think so.
Dick Miller's in everything, though.
William Shatner is, though.
Oh, this is Bill Shatner one? Okay.
Yep, this is the Bill Shatner one. So, okay, I'm going to be 100% honest. I've not seen this movie yet.
How can it be a number one? No.
I know, right? No, no, no. Hear me out. Hear me out. Because this is the only movie that actually failed and that nobody would back him. So he and his brother actually put forth the funds. His brother remortgaged his house to do this. This is one where they got death threats, where they filmed the last scene of the movie and had to literally like film it, wrap up, grab their shit and leave because people were chasing after them.
Wait, I know this movie. I had to Google what it was. You never saw this movie?
I've not seen this movie.
You never seen this fucking movie.
But I will be seeing this movie now because it is about horror. It's about the terror. And he wanted to stay relevant with filming about social issues in America. Yeah. And he wrote a film. It's called The Intruder. It's also called Shame. It has a lot of like different names to it.
I Hate Your Guts.
Yeah, I Hate Your Guts. You know, Stranger all these
dangers.
Mm-hmm. And it's basically a drama, and I would consider a horror film. It was from 1962, and it stars William Shatner. It's all about racism in the South.
It's about racism and Baby Yoda.
No, in the South. I don't
think he's racist.
So it's basically this person who comes to the small town and incites white violence against the black town people. And they had the Ku Klux Klan, I guess, like try to you know, people were very, very cautious to film this and were like, this is crazy because they've shot it in the South. They filmed it in the South. And with the Black people as protagonists, as the ones in the right, because he was very passionate about this and about basically the violence that was being caused onto the Black people at the time and the during the desegregation. So this was a huge risk. It was a financial flop, but it was incredibly, I think, important to the time, you know?
Is it?
Thank you. I'm glad you agree with me, Jelly Beans.
It's like, meow, meows. It was very important.
Yes. And so, yes, I have not seen it yet. I didn't even know before, and I did watch, and I recommend this, was the documentary, which is on Tubi, and it's called Roger Corman, The Pope of Pop Cinema. It's only an hour long, and it's great. It goes through his film career, and it talks about this. And especially, again, William Shatner, he is a good actor. We know he's a good actor. He's done great stuff with The Twilight Zone. He's done...
P.J. Hooker. Boston Legal.
Yeah, Boston Legal. That's another one.
He's done a lot.
And again, like for him to also take on this film, you know, we know now that when he was filming Star Trek, they had the first interracial kiss with him and Uhura, and he was very for this when they wanted to cut it. He's like, we're absolutely not cutting that kiss.
No.
It's absolutely got to be in there. So again, like it was a lot to put on the line, and Roger Corman did because he saw an injustice.
However, just so people are aware, Star Trek happens after the movie.
Yes. So this is predated, but I just wanted to show kind of Shatner's role in all of this as well. Like he was also a staunch supporter of desegregation and civil rights.
He comes from Montreal. Here, all Canadians and Montrealers are like that, eh?
Well, and Roger Corman comes from Detroit, and we have a very Black population who it's vibrant here. We're doing great stuff. Really in Detroit.
Did he live in Detroit afterwards, or did he leave as soon as he got money?
He left as soon as he got money? No, he went to where the films were.
Where
the films were.
That's what I'm saying too. Me, I'm going to go where the films are, just where they are. Me, wherever I want to live. But
yeah,
twist your arm. You have to live in sunny California.
I mean, he went where the films were. But anyway, so I'm gonna be seeing this. It is free. You can find it online for free. It's even on YouTube. I'm going to check it out. I hope other people check it out with me.
Is it free? Yeah. Let me see. Are we hosting it?
What do you mean? Are we hosting it?
1962? It can't be. Is it? Maybe. I don't know.
It's on Plex for free. It's on, you look on YouTube. There's tons of it. Full
that's
movie.
That's what I'm asking. There's our YouTube channel.
Oh, I think it's public domain, or at least this person is saying it's public domain. I don't know 100% sure.
Well, let's see if we get a YouTube censorship strike. Can always just look at ours for 1962. Yeah, I'm putting it on YouTube before this episode gets out. So fuck all the other sites. If you want to listen to and watch The Intruder, go to Haunted MTL's YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And fucking click on that shit.
And I'm going to watch it too.
Yeah, after you're done listening to our podcast on YouTube or our clips or whatever it's going to be, click on that shit, man.
And celebrate Roger Corman.
Also Robert Corman. Celebrate them all. One Corman to rule them all. That's what I hear. All right. That's what's pretty decent. One? Oh, my number one was Little Shop of Horrors.
That's right.
All right, not bad. Hey, look at that. 49 minutes. I love this timing shit. All right, for the power invested in me, are there any plugs to give? Nice. Yes. What do you want to do for a plug?
Of course there's plugs to give. Are you What are you talking about? I'm the plug king. Mm-hmm. So what I say always, and what I always will say, is go support local. Go support your local indie theaters. Go support your local things. Also look up and see if there's a film festival near you. We're going to have Motor City Nightmares coming in July. I hope to go attend that. And also Small Town Monsters is going to be having their Monster Fest in June.
Small Town Monsters.
It's going to be in Ohio.
Is that Breedlove?
Huh?
Is that Seth Breedlove? Breedlove?
Breedlove, yep. Seth Breedlove.
Okay. Cool.
They're going to have tons of people there.
Will Tara Reid be there as Sasquatch? That's why I want to fucking know.
No, I don't know. She might be a special guest. We don't know yet.
That'll be awesome.
But like I say, like I will say, go support local. Go see what's going on. Go. That's where everything happens. Where the magic happens.
That's where the magic does or does not happen, depending where you live. And I'm going to say, don't support anyone local.
Hey, you have a Montreal Film Festival coming up that I'm very jealous about because they are going to have a new witch board coming out.
I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is it the Fangora one or the?
No, it's, let me see. Because I was bummed out that I couldn't go. I'm like, oh, well. Montreal Film Festival. Mm-mm-mm-mm. I'm gonna have it in just a second. Oh, it's Fantasia. Fantasia.
So what I said,
it's
like,
it's not Fangoria, it's Fantasia.
Same fucking thing.
July 18th through August 4th in Montreal. Huh? And they're, like I said, they're gonna have a new witch board, so that's exciting.
I have no idea what witch board is. What is that?
Oh my god. All right. Well, we'll talk about that more when we talk about witches.
The witches, which will be our next podcast.
Yes.
On witches, because goddamn it, if I had to watch a fucking movie, we're doing the podcast.
And I think Nicole on our website is going to be doing a witch thing as well coming up soon.
Maybe we can ask Nicole if she wants to be on a fucking podcast about witches.
There we go.
No one's going to guess my fucking movie.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Witchery? No. Is it?
No, it is fucking bonkers. That's what it is. It's fucking bonkers. But I can't wait.
I look forward to it.
And I'll give you, it's not like we're talking about Roger Corman doing a lot of the nudie stuff later on and, mm-hmm. you know, the mm-hmm. whole witchery thing. A lot of the witch movies were like that in the beginning. They were basically like showing booze and it was torture porn for mostly. Mm-hmm. They're like, we're going to put a branding on this woman. But it's realistic.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like fucking, you know. Yeah.
But yeah, that's you're right. You're absolutely right.
All right. My plug is go buy my fucking book or go buy Joe's book, to be honest.
That was very assertive.
Damn right. I'm being assertive. Dude, you should all buy my book or Joe's book, whoever's book you want to buy, Surviving Gen X. I don't remember the book's name, so I need to look at a title right now.
Yeah, I see the poster in your background. It looks nice.
We got posters. We got templates. We got finger big diggers. We got
stuff.
It's an advertisement, an advert that was in a award show. Advert.
Yeah, lovely.
And award season coming up. If you buy Surviving Gen X, make sure that you vote for the motherfucker too. For whatever awards.
Go to Goodreads. Go to Goodreads. Leave a review.
Leave a good review. Damn it.
Well,
don't leave those fucking shit reviews. I don't want honest reviews. I just want positive ones. If your review is shitty, keep it for yourself.
Like every writer then.
If you have bad reviews, I don't need to see that shit. Joe doesn't need to see that shit either. No one needs to see that shit. Everyone needs to see that. So go buy Surviving Gen X. That's it for me. Like, click, subscribe, pass it on. And remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
Yeah. Oh, happy Pride, too.
I'm not going to do it.
Why?
Happy Pride?
Yeah. It's happy Pride. It's Pride Month.
June?
Yes. As of this day.
It was July.
The year of our Lord, 6-1. Yeah, there we go. Oh, Okay. Oh my god.
Oh, here it is. This is the outro. Oh wait. Meow meows. Jelly beans.
Trying to get her meow. Meow meow.
And although, for reals, if you want to watch The Intruder, go check out our YouTube channel, Haunted Empty Elf. It's up. Lick and subscribe this.
Lick and subscribe.
Lick and subscribe.
Lick it and click it.
Lick it before you click it. Damn right.
Don't get a ticket. You know where to stick it.
Baby Yoda.
Oh.
Ooh.
That is like a not liking that one. There you go. But
I hear a cat.
Yeah, I'm right. Bye, everyone.